Hello, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 a.m., or you can get more information by looking at our website, tulsafbc.org. May the Lord bless you this week.
Now, will you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Our scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 3, 17 through 19, and Luke 22, 44. And he said to the man, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For you are dust, and you will return to dust." Being in anguish, Jesus prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that despite our betrayals and our disobedience, you make room for us to still be a part of your plan. Thank you for your grace and your forgiveness. Thank you for allowing us to be co-laborers with you in the restoration of your creation. But it's difficult work. It's backbreaking and tear-inducing, and there are thorns everywhere we look. Thank you for the reminder that you intimately understand our anguish and our sweat. Every hardship and heartbreak we experience as we labor through this life, you experienced also through your Son. Thank you for standing by our side. Give us strength and sustain us. Dry the sweat of our brow. We praise you, Lord God, that because of the work of Jesus, we have hope. Someday the curse will end. Where sin and sorrow now grows, there will be lush beauty. The thorns in the ground and the thorns in our side will be removed, and your blessings will flow freely. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much. You may be seated. So it seems that when a person comes to die, that they really do see their life flash before their eyes. Researchers at Hadassah University in Israel interviewed 271 people who had near-death experiences, and almost all of them saw events from their life transpiring. They didn't necessarily happen in chronological order. Sometimes they were happening simultaneously. They seemed to have lost all awareness of time. It was just this moment that really had time had no meaning. And for those who came back from these near-death experiences, that life review experience, that's the technical word they use for seeing your life flash in front of your eyes, that life review experience changed the way that they lived the rest of their lives. Physically, what is likely happening is that the last area of the brain to shut down with loss of blood or loss of oxygen is that part of the brain that holds our autobiographical information. So really, a person, when they come to die, maybe for the first time, sees all of their life in one single significant frame. So I want us to do that this morning. I want us to try as best that we can while in this room to see all of our life as one big picture, both life that is eternal and life that is temporal, life that is passing and life that is lasting, life that is here and life that is hereafter, everything that makes you, you. I want us to see it in one frame. And here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with the idea that life is a gift. Now follow me here for just a minute, because in the ancient world, different cultures had their own narratives. They had their own stories about how and why creation came into being. And for most of them, here was the idea that the gods got tired of providing their own food. They got tired of that meaningless manual labor, that mundane labor, so they created humans to do it for them. They outsourced it, right? And so humans, their job was to provide everything that the gods needed, and it was difficult labor. The biblical narrative, the Hebrew Bible, flips that on its head. We're not here to provide things for God. God provides things for us. And God provided something that is a sheer gift, life. He created humanity in the garden. We had everything we needed, the perfect environment, relationships with one another, relationships with Him. And most of all, the joy of existence. I want you to stop and think about this for just a moment. You are the only person that has ever been you in all of eternity. For some of your spouses, you're going, thank you. Yeah. You're the only person that has ever been you. God has made you as a unique individual, your existence. And for each one of us, God has given us a purpose. Okay, look at this idea that life is a gift. The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to watch over it. You know what? As we talk about what our purpose is in life, we need to stop thinking in terms of our career alone. I would rather we use the phrase our vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin vocare. It means a calling. That God has a calling on each one of our lives. He's created us to experience the joy of existence and to serve a significant purpose. So as you choose your vocation, what's the first thing you need to do? Listen. If a vocation is a calling and God speaks who and what he wants you to be, the first thing we should do is just stop and listen. And let me encourage you, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in your career, keep on listening. God, what do you want me to do? What is the calling that you have on my life that will reveal the craft and the purpose for which I am to give myself? Life is an incredible gift, and I hope you've experienced that. But here's the second part of it. Now remember, we're just trying to see all of life in one frame. Life is a gift, but the reality is that the world is broken. I know you've experienced this. That everything God intended for life has been frustrated by our own sin. In the garden, when sin was introduced, the environment was made hostile. Humans' relationships with one another was broken. Even their relationship with God, now there was distance in that relationship. And now, whereas everything was perfect, look at the description now. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow. That word sweat is just another word for strain. It's another word for stress. If you feel stress, you experience firsthand that while life is a gift, the world we live in is somehow broken. Life was intended to be all pleasure, but now there are things about it that are unpleasurable. So do y'all remember Mel Blanc? He was probably one of the greatest character actors of all times. All the Looney Tunes and Bugs Bunny. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? On his tombstone, by the way, has his birthday, death date, and the saying, "That's all, folks." That was his kind of what he contributed to the world, was being a voice actor. He loved doing what he did. But, now follow me here, he was the voice of Bugs Bunny. And when Bugs Bunny said, "What's up, Doc?" what did he do? He was always smacking on a carrot. So Mel Blanc insisted on doing his own sound effects. The only problem was he hated carrots. So he'd chomp on carrots, they'd pause the recording, he'd spit them out, and by the end of the recording there'd just be a pile of carrot pulp there. It was a part of his job and part of his life that he didn't like. You know, we all have that part. We all have parts of our profession, our careers, our callings, our vocations, our lives that we just don't enjoy. Why? Because the world is broken. And not only is life sometimes unpleasurable, sometimes life is unproductive. We put lots of effort and energy into things and it doesn't come to fruition. And oftentimes we live unproductive lives. So a couple of months ago, I was stuck in South Bend, Indiana at the airport. I was supposed to fly back through and where I was supposed to make my connection, there was bad weather, and so they had to reroute me. And I went up to the counter and began to talk with the agent. She was so friendly, so helpful. She said, "I will get you home tonight." So sure enough, I got home late that night, but I got home. The next day, I decided to call the airline because I know they take a lot of grief. They get a lot of complaints. But this agent had done her job well. I had her name. I called the airline. I started to give the compliment, and the person on the other end said, "Hang on just a second." And I could hear her kind of cover up her microphone and turn to her supervisor. "How do we fill out a compliment card?" Yeah. Airlines take a lot of grief, don't they? I said, "Why don't you just take the part where it says complaint and just scratch that out?" and put in compliment. We live in a world where there are so many complaints and we live unproductive lives. Why? Because the world is broken and we live a life of sweat. So does this mean we just give up? Hey, life is meant to be a gift, but now it's broken. So we just give up? No, and I'm really not trying to alliterate here. But where we face lives that are unpleasant and unproductive in a broken world, you and I are called to persevere. And maybe this is for that one person this morning. You're that close to giving up. Persevere. If you've never heard of Christy Brown, you're going to hear of him this morning. He was born in Ireland in 1932, severe cerebral palsy. All that he had was a functional brain and movement from his left foot. Doctors told the mother he's just not going to be worth much of anything for his life. Well, one day he was laying on the floor and one of his siblings walked past, dropped a crayon, and Christy reached out and grabbed it with his left foot and began to manipulate it. That was the beginning of a writer and an artist. Long before there was voice recognition software, IBM developed a computer for him so that Christy Brown could write books using just the big toe of his left foot. And he wrote multiple books. So what's your excuse for not getting on with something? What's your excuse? What do you have that's keeping you back? There's something beautiful about perseverance, even in a world that is broken. But now here's the final negative. I promise you this is going to get positive here in just a minute. We're seeing all of life in a single frame. Life's a gift. I hope you've experienced that. The world is broken. I know you've experienced that. But we also live in a world that death is certain. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground. We will live a life that's meant to be a gift in a broken world. We will be wringing wet until we are depleted and we return to dry as dust. So I want you to remember what we're doing. This whole teaching series, The Bible in 10 Words, is meant to take just a handful of words from the first three chapters of Genesis. And it's if you just look at that one word and kind of tug on that thread, you see it all through the fabric of Scripture. And this one word has a way of telling the whole story of the Bible. Well, here's the word sweat. That Adam and Eve, your life and our life, is going to be a life of sweat because the world is broken and we're going to live that way our whole life because death is certain. So here's the interesting thing. The word sweat in this form shows up only twice in the Bible. One here in Genesis when Adam and Eve are being expelled from the garden, and the other time it's mentioned is in the New Testament when Jesus is walking into a garden. Jesus had spent 3 years of ministry, and it had come down to this. The Garden of Gethsemane, on the night he was betrayed and the night before his crucifixion. And here's the only other time the word sweat shows up in the Bible. Being in anguish, Jesus prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. Now, I have a curious mind here. I want to know what happened. Okay, there's a great article by William Edwards. It was written back in 1986 for the Journal of the American Medical Association. The article was called On the Physical Death of Jesus, and he walks through all the physiological things that were happening to Jesus. Wonderful article. And he said, Jesus might have suffered here from hemotidrosis, which is when you're under such stress and such strain that the blood vessels near the sweat glands rupture, and Jesus literally had bloody sweat. He was under that kind of stress. Or it could have been that Jesus was just sweating like one bleeds, which, how is that? Profusely. About a year ago, we were in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. I was in an antique junk shop just looking around, and I caught my head right here on a piece of corrugated metal, just nicked it right there. That's what I get for being bald. Man, bald and clumsy. Hit my head right there. The cut wasn't very big, but there was blood everywhere. Actually, I had to go back to the hotel room, just kind of hold my hand there for a while until it stopped, because on certain parts, when you start bleeding, it's just profuse. Jesus, maybe he wasn't sweating blood. Maybe he was just sweating like one bleeds profusely. Either way, Jesus here is under incredible strain. In fact, the only time the word anguish shows up in the New Testament, it's right here. In fact, literally the word is agony. So you can take an ounce of gold and stretch it into a wire 50 miles long. It'll stretch a long way, but eventually it will break. Jesus here is being stretched as far as he will go, and he is on the verge of breaking. What does this tell us about him? So I've invited you to see all of your life in a single frame. Life is a gift, the world is broken, and death is certain. Now I want you to see Jesus in one frame. His life was a gift. Think about this. Jesus told us some things about God that we had never heard before, and we would not know otherwise. Jesus did some things to tell us about the power of God. 35 miracles are recorded in the Gospels, some of which are physical healing. Jesus is stronger than our sickness. Some are nature miracles. Jesus is stronger than our environment. Some of them are demonic miracles, Jesus casting out evil spirits. Jesus is the strongest spiritual force there is, and three of them are resuscitations, where Jesus brings somebody back from the dead. He is even stronger than death. Jesus' life was a gift to humanity, but the world is broken. You know, if your Creator comes to you in the flesh, you should recognize him and respect him, but we did not. Now, you kind of get why the Roman government wouldn't accept Jesus, because, you know, politics, the way the machinery of politics works, it does what is expedient. And for somebody else claiming to be king, that's not convenient. And so you can kind of understand why Rome would do away with him. But for the Jews not to recognize their own Messiah, I'm not going to harp on the Jews because I'm going to harp on us. The Jewish religious leaders crucifying Jesus should stand as an all-time warning for every single one of us in this room that it's possible to be very religious and still miss God. It is possible to be really religious and miss God when he's right in front of you. So instead of recognizing and respecting our Creator, we crucified him. So life is a gift, but our world is broken, and here Jesus' death is certain. He's already surrendered himself to death, and he gives himself on our behalf. So the next time you're in D.C., go to the National Arboretum. I have to plead ignorance. I didn't even know we had a National Arboretum. But there at the National Arboretum, there is a bonsai tree. And it was given as a gift from the Japanese government in 1976 to the United States in honor of the bicentennial. But this bonsai tree has a very interesting history. It was planted in 1625. It's an old tree. But one of its most significant moments happened in the 1940s. It was within 2 miles of where the bomb was dropped in Hiroshima. And it survived because it happened to be sitting behind a small brick wall. And it survived the blast. And that tree tells a story. This tree tells a story. This tree was at ground zero of humanity's sin. And out of God's divine forgiveness, it took the blast. This tree tells a story. You know what story it tells? Life is a gift. God will do anything to redeem it. Our world is broken. But even while our world is broken and death is certain, there's one last piece of this I want you to see. There is now a new reality. I feel like saying there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new reality in eternity. And that is resurrection, because this tree is empty. And the tomb where Jesus laid was empty. the best I know how to see our life and all of Scripture and all of eternity in a single shot is this. Your life is a gift. I hope you've experienced that. We live in a broken world. I know you are experiencing that. Death is certain. No matter how young and vibrant you are, you know, everyone who sat in this worship center 100 years ago is no longer here. And 100 years from now, we will not be here. But there is another reality. And that is Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And here's the deal. These first three items, that you don't have to accept them. It just is. But this last one, only you can accept it. It is true no matter what. But for this to be real over your life, you must accept this for yourself. That Jesus Christ went to the cross on your behalf. And he rose from the tomb on your behalf. So my invitation this morning to you is just very simple. Would you see all of your life in a single frame? And as you see it here, may it make a radical difference in the way that you view your life, in the way you view Christ, and the way you embrace eternity. Let's stand together and let's pray together this morning. So this is just you and God right now. The two of you are face to face. Jesus Christ is in this room and he's standing right in front of you. Would you take just a moment to thank him for the reality that life is good and life is a gift? Would you acknowledge that our world is broken and maybe there's a particular area of brokenness in your world right now that you need to just say, Jesus, here it is. My world is messed up. Hand it to him. Death is certain. This is unpleasant, and for some it is even morbid, but it is the truth that we are temporary in this place. Would you acknowledge that? And then if there's never been that moment where you have embraced the reality of resurrection, we do that in a very simple way. It's a prayer that Christians have been praying for centuries. Jesus is Lord. Tied up in that simple prayer is the fact that Jesus died on behalf of me for my sin, and that there is forgiveness on the empty cross and in the empty tomb. If you've never said yes to the Lordship of Christ, would you simply pray that simple prayer now? Jesus is Lord. God's listening. He hears you. Come home to him. God, thank you that this life is not all there is. If this life is it, despair is the name of the game. But in Christ there is hope. Hope that there is not only life after death, but there is life instead of death. Help us to embrace that. Help us to encounter you. And Jesus, over all of us and over our world, may you be Lord. It is true in eternity. May it be true of us individually. Jesus, it is in your name that we offer our prayer. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. Every Sunday morning at the conclusion of worship, I offer this blessing to our people, and so I offer it to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.